Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards. We're back once again to talk about the wonderful world of Joshi Wrestling. There's a lot to cover this week. We are going to finally review Namba Grand Fight 2024. If you didn't hear my thoughts over on the Gold Star podcast, thank you for waiting. I have a lot of thoughts now that, you know, it's not the day of the event anymore. There were some great matches, obviously some big news points coming out of that show. So there's a lot to dissect on this episode. We also are going to go over the weekend of Marigold's Dreamstar Grand Prix tournament, give an update, talk a little bit about that Corker show. But of course, if you want to see my full reviews of those shows, you can go over to youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling, where I review each and every tournament match, top to bottom on each show. That has been a lot of fun. We'll be doing three of those this upcoming weekend, starting on Friday. So you don't want to miss that. We will also be previewing TJPW Wrestle Princess 2024. Probably the least amount of conversation I've ever seen for one of these shows, but I think it's a very good card, top to bottom, and a show that I am looking forward to. So we will be talking about that show as well, and kind of just the overall feeling in the world of Joshi right now. I think that is a big topic point that I have noticed this week, especially with really all of the three bigger, more talked about companies running major shows over the past couple weeks. So we will get to that as well. But I did make a promise last week, and I'm going to keep that promise. I told everyone that I would remind you that the Dump Matsumoto show is now available on Netflix. They do have voiceovers, so if you don't want to dive into the show talking necessarily, you know, in the Japanese language, they do have voiceovers. I believe Alexa Bliss of WWE and of course Nikki Bella are two of the voices that have been lended to the show, so I find that pretty interesting. But this is all about Dump Matsumoto and how she became the Queen of Villains. That is, of course, the name of the show. I know once I'm done with this recording, I will be finally diving into that series. I'm really looking forward to it. Hopefully, I can give a full review sometime next week or maybe on Netflix. As someone who has obviously come into the Joshi game far later than the peak of Dump and so on, this is a show I'm really looking forward to just to learn some more. I've only read great things about it. It sounds like it's a home run of a show, and I think it's just a really cool concept that Netflix has picked up. So I'm really looking forward to it. So I just wanted to throw everyone there. I feel like as the Joshi show, everyone should be going to check out that show. Like I said, I'll give my thoughts on it next week. Hopefully we'll have it done by then. Actually, I'll make it a goal to be done to talk about it next week. We'll have so much to talk about, but it's only right that we go over that. So make sure you check that show out. We have some more news as well, as Sukeban has announced their next show. They will be heading to London, which was a nice surprise, I know, for some people, some friends over in that side of the world in England. They'll be heading to London on October 10, 2024, and the card features a match with Commander Nakajima. Yes, the formerly retired, well, truly retired Arisa Nakajima. She's not coming back full-time into action, but she will be defending the Sukeban World Championship in potentially her final match for the promotion, we don't know yet, against one and only Sari, who goes by, of course, Sari Bomb in that promotion. So I'm really looking forward to that. No matter what you, because I know a lot of people have their feelings about Sukeban and what it is, but for me, it's very special to see those two share the ring one more time, and I think they'll feel that in there. I don't know the extent of what Nakajima will be doing. Obviously, she retired for a reason. So I think Sari is the obvious option to kind of take over as champion moving forward. You know, she is the best wrestler in the world after all. So it only makes sense to give her that. But I just want to point everyone out to that. That should probably air on YouTube. I look forward to checking it out. And we'll, of course, review it on the show when we get to it. But that is it for major news this week that doesn't have to, of course, do with the pay-per-views or the big shows that we are going to review. So thank you, everyone, for that. But let's get into the big topic, of course, which is Namba Grand Fight 2024, Stardom's latest pay-per-view effort. It was a long show, lots of matches on the show, and I think the number one request I have for pay-per-views moving forward is, listen, I know people don't love the gauntlets or the battle royals, but we need to squish some of these matches together. We had four tag matches in a row that obviously were like to set up some challenges and whatnot, but they weren't necessary for a pay-per-view. If you want to do challenges, you can always do that on house shows. It wouldn't be crazy. But besides that, we have a big show here to talk about, so let's get to it. On the pre-show, Zena defeated Rian, which is what she does. But I will point out, you can listen to my in-depth interview with one Zena over on Fightful's YouTube channel, a great 43-minute conversation with one of the best foreigners Stardom has ever seen. You can learn more about her thoughts about her match with Micah, the high-speed title defense, challenge against May Sarah, and so much more. So I think it's well worth your time. Obviously, big Zena fans here at this show, and I think the world is learning more about how great Zena truly is. So let's get to the top of the show now here, Namba Grand Fight 2024. The show opened up with Saya Kamatani defeating Mina Shirakawa, and I think this is kind of very telling of where we are now with these two. Saya Kamatani obviously is the one getting pushed, right? She is the one moving forward and likely getting some sort of world title match. I'd have to guess at this stage at Queendom, but I'm not too sure. So obviously her beating Mina Shirakawa made the most sense. Now the conversation here is how big things change, right? Last year, All-Star Grand Queendom, these two are facing off in one of the biggest Wonder Stardom title matches ever, where Mina Shirakawa overcomes and wins the title. One of the great matches, not only of last year, arguably the best match of that show, just a fantastic match between the two. And ultimately, that will go down as the peak of Mina's career for me. It has been I don't want to say a downhill fall, because obviously she has become an even bigger star since then because of her involvement in AEW. But when it comes to her Stardom career, it is absolutely going to be her peak, because we are watching her. She has one foot out the door, right? She's already heading back to AEW. She only came back a week ago. She missed the 5-star Grand Prix. This is just the time we live in when it comes to Mina Shirakawa and her current status with the company. I think if you've watched Mina for a long time, you know how she was presented at one point. I've seen people say, wow, she's presented so much better in AEW and Ring of Honor now. Well, yeah, because simply put, Mina is not around enough now to be presented any higher. You can't push her into big matches. You can't push her into feuds, because ultimately she is going to be around for 2-3 weeks and then take off for a while, however that may be. Now, I think we have seen her do the in and out, right? We've seen her come back and go and come back and go within a week, but that's just something I don't think she can stick with. And at the end of the day, I do think that she will be All Elite eventually. This match didn't come close to what they once created in the ring, any of their matches really. I don't think this was anything to write home about. A fine opener where you put Mina on the pre-show and it puts eyes, hopefully, on the product. But other than that, it was kind of there. Saya used the top rope to cheat and get the win. We had Hanako and Wakasukiyama defeating Hina and Rana Yagami when Hanako choked out Hina to make her lose. So obviously, the big thing I noticed here is while we are getting a lot of wins in for Hanako right now, found it odd for her to beat Hina, the same Hina who, of course, will be in a number one contenders match at the end of the month at New Blood. You could have just beat Rana Yagami. I think that would have been fine. But if that's to continue establishing the Hanako who has now returned, I understand that. But at the same time, it's very simple. You just have Rana lose because, again, Hina is going to be, and I don't think Hina is going to beat Miyu Amasaki in that number one contenders match, but it's still happening. So I'm just using booking logic there. And then we have what I thought was the best match of the undercard here. Asari Ano, Aya Sakura, Yuna Mizumori, and Sayaka Karara defeated the Hate team of Natsuko Tora, Rina, Ruaka, and Azusa Inaba. Rina and Azusa are just incredible. Like, they are so good for their experience level. Rina's 17, Azusa's 16, yet they are such a great dynamic duo. And Rina has really taken the charge, I think, out of everyone in Hate, whether it be Tora, Kamatani, Watanabe, Tekla. Like, I just think Rina carries the most confidence about her and understands her role to perfection, to the point where, and again, this might be seen as crazy, I understand that, but to the point where I do think that Rina should take over this group in the future. And when I say future, I don't mean 5 years down the line. I mean in the next year or so. I know it may sound egregious, it may sound crazy, but we are watching a stardom now that is trying to establish young stars, right? Starlight Kid obviously taking over and making her own group with Neo Genesis. You look at this group and you look at, say, a Stars. Is Hanan going to eventually take over that group, right? We're going to talk about the Hazuki stuff that's going on and obviously the Mayu of it all. That could be potential. And then you have Rina here. I think they are going for the youth movement with the idea of those are the wrestlers they want to keep the most, no matter what may happen next year. So Even so, like, if Rina is, which I expect, I'm sure she will be, sticking around for the long haul, I think she should be taking over the leader of Hate from Natsuko in the next year or so. And that's just how I feel. But I think she can, I think she gets it more than anyone her age should. She's so good in her role. Obviously, this future of stardom title reign has been the best we've seen. You know, I took a long time to accept that when we compared it to the Hanan reign, because I think the Hanan reign did so much for her in the belt itself, and I think Rina is doing exactly that, but almost in a more emphasized way, as kind of a main eventer. So I applaud her. She's well on her way to big things. We also had Starlight Kid, Mei Sara, and Kohaku team up to defeat Saida, Koguma, and Momokogo. This was a fun match. Nice to see Kohaku around. Would have liked to set something up with her, but it's cool to see her on the show. We then had Tekla, Momo Watanabe, Konami defeat God's Eyes, Shuri, Saki Kashima, and Lady C. After the match, Shuri laid down a challenge for the Goddesses of Stardom Championships. It will be Shuri and Saki Kashima challenging for those belts at an upcoming show. Let me get the exact date for that show. It will be on Saturday, September 28th. So next Saturday at Korakuen Hall, it'll be Momo Watanabe and Tekla defending against Shuri and Saki Kashima. And then we get to the big four here, and the big four is kind of where we're going to really start to break down things as we often do. Now that we're through the undercard, I think when I watch this and when I watch Suzu versus Inaba, I said it last week and I'll say it again here. All I was hoping for was signs. I wanted to see the signs of the old Suzu Suzuki. And I think when I say that, I mostly mean what, not necessarily do I think it's gone, because again, she's 22 years old, an insane, incredible talent that is far, far from, you know, I think reaching her full potential. But obviously she has taken the steps back. I talked about this and I said, going to this match with Inaba, familiar foe who has had a great match with her, could they find the click? Because her and Tam felt like the direction. That's why you kind of give Suzu a big signature singles on this show. And while I don't think it was perfect, and I don't think it reached the level of their Taka Taichi match from 2022, I do think that we started to see bits of that Suzu Suzuki that we all know and love. I think we started to see those fiery bits from her. Maybe it was just because Inaba was hitting her so hard. But when you're in there with someone, especially that is a peer of yours around your same age, maybe it brings out the best in you. And for me, I thought, for the most part, we got some of the best Suzu we have in a while. And Inaba continues to thrive within this company. You know, we keep talking about 2025 and what stardom may look like. The fact that they have given both Tomoka and Azusa deals, right? The fact that they have given them deals of being in factions within this company, it should prove to be a very smart move down the line if they can get those two to sign. But for now, having them around is such a benefit to the promotion as a whole. Then we had Eye Contact, Mayu Iwatani and Hanan defeating O2 Line, Azumi, and Miyu Amasaki. This match was just really, really good. O2 Line is top of the line these days, no pun intended. I just think like these two should be serious, serious threats for the tag belts, and not, you know, I'm considering it before the end of the year. Listen, Starlight Kid is kind of the single star. Suzu's now in a world title match. May Sarah's a high speed champion. For Azumi and Miyu Amasaki right now teaming up does make the most sense. And I would like to see Azumi break away and, of course, be a singles. And she's waiting on the IWGP title, so she will get her time. But for now, I think with what O2 Line has put together over this year alone, they deserve a consideration to win those belts. And, of course, the Eye Contact side here, Mayu and Hana work tremendously together. Mayu's the greatest of all time. I don't have to say that all. But of course, this is all about the post-match, right? This is the conversation you're waiting for me to have. And that, of course, was when the screen popped up and it was former World of Stardom champion, former Cinderella tournament winner, former five-star winner, Toni Storm, AEW superstar, AEW competitor, whatever you want to call her. Toni Storm pops up on the screen and lays down the challenge to Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Women's Championship. And not only that, she will be coming to Japan on October 5th at Nagoya Golden Fight to have that match. So I'll be perfectly honest with everyone here. When I saw Toni Storm pop up on the screen, my first thought was, she's winning this title. And obviously, as the Super Mayu fan here, I think the biggest Mayu fan there is, I felt two different things. One, I get it. Here's the thing. Do I want Toni Storm to be the one to end the Mayu long reign that could have went to maybe an Azumi or Starlight Kid in just this big crowning moment for them? No, I don't love it. However, I do understand the booking side of this and how AEW has done their deals. Toni Storm is currently off television and has been since Wembley Stadium. But Toni Storm is still one of, if not the biggest women stars in that company. Probably go Mercedes, then Toni. So for me to think she's just coming in for a defense to lose is hard for me to believe. Then add in the idea of Wrestle Dynasty 2025. Of course, the big show that features AEW, New Japan, Stardom, Ring of Honor, and CMLL. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Toni Storm enter that show as the reigning IWGP Women's Champion to then defend the belt against someone that they want to give the big Tokyo Dome spot to. Because then you have the AEW connection in there. You have a big match for Toni Storm, who is a Stardom alum, and you put her one-on-one with, a Starlight Kid, an Azumi, a Shuri, someone of the sort to potentially take this title away from Toni before it all goes down. I think that's a real possibility. I obviously take into account the potential of Mayu leaving. The world has talked about this. If she's leaving, they're not going to want to put her in a big signature match, I'm sure, at the Tokyo Dome. So that also goes into the thinking as well. But Toni Storm versus Mayu Iwatani, once again, the first time they faced off with the World of Stardom title on the line, Mayu got hurt. And where was that? That was in Nagoya, the same location for this show. I'm wishing the best. I think they'll have a great match in 2 weeks' time. Well, 1 week time. No, 2 weeks' time. Sorry. But that is my whole thought process on that match coming about. I think that's kind of how to look at it. It's probably the best way to look at it. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see until we get there. And then we had the Wonder of Stardom Championship match. It was Natsu Poi defending the championship against Hazuki. And you have already seen my thoughts online about the seemingly clear as day story they are running with Hazuki. But before we get to that, we will talk about the match. I thought this match was a home run, a match of the night, will you? I think it easily was the match of the night. I thought the world title match was a great match, but this was that Hazuki Wonder of Stardom title defense. She is the greatest Wonder of Stardom wrestler ever without winning the title. Every time she challenges for this belt, it is something meaningful. Her match with Arisa Hoshiki back in 2019 is one of my favorites ever in the history of Stardom. Her match, of course, with Saya Kamatani in 2023, one of the great matches, not only of that year, but, of course, for the Wonder of Stardom title. Hazuki is someone who has long been ready for an opportunity. There is a reason I watch Hazuki and I walk away every time saying, if I started a company tomorrow, she'd be my ace. She would be someone I would push to lead the way, because not only is she incredible in the ring, but she is just a wrestler that so many people naturally get behind, and I think leads by example. This match was rough and tough. This didn't go down the UWF style rules that Natsu Poi had teased. There was none of that. This was ripping of the hair, throwing people across the ring, exchanging suplexes, hitting kicks, hitting forearms, everything you want to see. And obviously the threat here is that Hazuki acknowledged that this might be the time she ever challenges for the Wonder of Stardom Championship, which of course has created a lot of conversation, but that is what he said, or what she said. And I think ultimately when it comes down to it, Hazuki is going to be someone that follows this to create a story, and we are seeing it in real time. I think the beauty of Hazuki as a wrestler is that everything she does is so believable. And even so, that comes with her words and what she says. And that is the route we are going down. This, there has been something beautiful, I think, about the way she wrestles these title matches, is that she creates hope and belief even in the matches she has no chance of winning. There was never a second she was beating Natsupoi. There was no debate in that. I know there wasn't, because Natsupoi just became champion, and this is something they've worked to all year. But when Hazuki gets that Hazuki Strawl in the middle of the ring, I'm losing my mind. That's what I did in this match. I leaped out of my chair. This was a tremendous, tremendous match. It is why you watch these Wonder of Stardom title matches. It carries on. This is why you wanted to see Natsupoi as champion. This is why you'd love to see Hazuki as champion. A great, great title match that ultimately saw Hazuki just fall short as Natsupoi got her roll up to win the match and shocking Hazuki. Hazuki walked away in disappointment. She could not shake the hand of Natsupoi, and there was pure sadness, which is carried through the rest of the week.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Let's talk about this real quick. Hazuki has done post-match interviews with stars, looking distraught, not interested, hair down, hair in her face, Koguma holding her hand. We are on our way to either another very predictable turn. And when I say another predictable turn, we knew Konami was going that way when she used that chair and then they pushed it off a little longer. I hope that's not the case. Or at the very least, I'm never against Hazuki doing something new. However, losing FWC is not something I want to see in this company. They are the best tag team in the world. But if they are going to do it, so be it. But at the same time, I'm watching stars be taken down. I don't want Hazuki to join hate. That is my only ask. She can be a lone wolf. She can go join God's Eye. She can just feud with Koguma or Mayu, whatever you want it to be. Just don't have her join hate. They have too many cooks in the kitchen already. There's too many people going that are reasonably big names that need to be pushed, right? You have Konami, you have Momo, you have Saya Kamatani, you have Tekla, who's now going to challenge for the Wonder of Stardom title. You have all these different things. So do not put Hazuki in hate. That is all I ask. And of course, you have Natsuko Tora as well. That is my only ask. Please, please, please. Like, I am going to follow your story. I'm going to see where it goes. I may not like it because I love FWC, but I'm going to see ultimately where this goes, because I feel like if she just turns, it's too predictable just the way it's going. But we'll have to see what happens. And then, of course, the main event, World of Stardom Championship. You have Tam Nakano defeating Mika, the undefeated five-star Grand Prix winner, to successfully defend her title for the first time. I said going into this show, this is the match that I believe is Stardom's biggest match right now. They just tossed it on Namba Grand Fight, rushed the five-star challenge to a two-week span, didn't hold it for Queendom, and ultimately this is where we went. We went to this match. I thought this match was very good. Hell, I think it was great. I thought it was a great World of Stardom title match that captured Tam getting a big-time win and almost trying to now move on from her tournament and all the Natsuko stuff that came with it. I think Mika kind of returned to that world title form that I feel like escaped her for the most of the five-star Grand Prix. We had our moments throughout the tournament, but this is someone who was hitting on all cylinders against Azina and Tomoka Inaba and even Natsuko before the tournament came around. She did the gimmick change. It'll be interesting to see how Mika, who I think they now perceive as their ace, as opposed to the face of the company, like, say, Tam Nakano. I think that is kind of the conversation to be had here. Like, Micah's going to be fine, but boy, does it look tough when you're the undefeated winner of the five-star and you go out there, you face Tam, and you just lose, who, of course, Tam went 0-6. It's an interesting story we've built up. It's one that I've been following. That being said, I thought the match was great. I think Tam has been awesome this year, truthfully. Maybe her best in-ring year to date in quite some time. And now we set up for the match with Suzu Suzuki. The match with Suzu Suzuki is a very interesting one for me, because if you know what was supposed to happen last year, she was supposed to be world champion. And obviously Suzu Suzuki has not been World of Stardom champion. And at this stage of the game, I don't know if she'll ever be five. Yeah, I don't know if she'll ever be World of Stardom champion. That's just the reality that we live in, because she has been seriously downcycled in the new regime. She was supposed to win the World of Stardom title twice. Bushiroad went with Mika. And ultimately now she sits here as the third wheel at best in her faction. Yes, she is getting the world title match, but this feels like a chance to redeem Tam from last year, because they never had that match at Gold Rush. I don't see Tam losing, but it's a match that on the surface I'm going to be very invested in because of last year, because of what Suzu was supposed to have. So I am in a way looking forward to that. That being said, the show was good. Not great, not perfect, but I think if you're going to go out of your way to watch anything, it's those last four matches, more specifically the last three, though. The Wonder Stardom Championship match was my favorite of the night. Top tier stuff, as always, from both Natsuko and Hazuki. Well worth checking out. Now, Stardom has announced plenty. As I said, they've already had two shows this week with Hazuki head down and sad and depressed, which makes me very sad and makes me very depressed as well. So we move forward, and honestly, I think it's crazy to just kind of jump back in to the house shows. It's been a long time. Stardom hasn't been running a normal house show circuit in forever, since before the five star, and really it feels like before Natsuko even became world champion. It just feels like it's been that long. So like I said, they had two shows in Aomori On Wednesday and Thursday. This Saturday, they're back in the Sendai Pit. Here is your card with some preview tag matches and so on. We have Mei Sara and Starlight Kid and Yu Hamasaki versus Suzuki, Koguma, and Hana. And that should be a banger because Neo Genesis is the best, of course. We have Saeeda versus Aya Sakura. That should be a good one. We have Azumi versus Saki Kashima versus Waka Tsukiyama. Mayu Iwatani returns to action. She's been out this week. She got two nerves. Her injuries. She'll be facing, she'll be teaming with Momokogo against the teams of Momo Watanabe and Konami, as well as the team of Hanako and Rion. Mika, Mina Shirakawa, and Zena team up against Shuri, Lady C, and Rana Yagami. Sori Ano, Yuna Mizumori, and Sayaka Karara team up against Natsuko Tora, Saya Kawatani, and Ruaka. And then Tam and Natsu Poi Meltier teams up for the second time this week to go against their upcoming challengers, Suzu Suzuki and Tekla, in main event tag team action. On Sunday in Yamagata, we'll have Miyu Amasaki versus Rana Yagami. We'll have Mina Shirakawa, Waka Tsukiyama, and Rion team up to face Yuna Mizumori, Aya Sakura, and Sayaka Karara. Mei Sara, Suzuki, and Starlight Kid team to face Suzuki, Hana, and Momokogo. That should be great again. We have the Azumi versus Koguma versus Zena. That should be a fun three-way battle. We'll have Shuri, Saki Kashima, Hina, and Lady C versus Momo Watanabe, Tekla, Konami, and Rina. Mayu Iwatani and Saeeda team up to face Mika and Hanako. And then an Artist of Stardom Championship match. Tam, Natsu Poi, Sori Ano defend against Natsuko Tora, Saya Kamatani, and Ruaka. And then they have a show on Monday as well. Lots of house shows this week, folks. Saeeda versus Rion, Sori Ano, Aya Sakura, and Sayaka Karara versus Natsuko Tora, Saya Kamatani, and Rina. Koguma versus Hanako versus Ruaka. Hina and Rana Yagami team up to face Mei Sara and Miyu Amasaki. Mayu Iwatani, Hizuki, Hanan, and Momokogo face Mika, Mina Shirakawa, Zena, and Waka Tsukiyama. Then Tam, Poi, and Yuna Mizumori team up against Suzu, Starlight Kid, and Azumi. That should be a great match. When we'll have Shuri, Saki Kashima, and Lady C do a preview tag for the tag belts as they face Momo Watanabe, Tekla, and Konami. And then, of course, Stardom has announced upcoming title matches September 28th back at Korakuen Hall. It'll be Momo Watanabe and Tekla defending against Shuri and Saki Kashima. The next day at New Blood, so New Blood on a Sunday, Hina and Miyu Amasaki will face off in the number one contenders match, while Rina defends against Aya Sakura. And then on the 5th at the Aichi's Dolphins Arena, and it will be Tam versus Suzu Suzuki and Mayu Iwatani versus Timeless Tony Storm at Nagoya Golden Fight 2024. So that is everything you need to know about Stardom as we move forward. Lots going on. Lots happening. Lots of fun. Love this. Love this. Keeping it busy. Next up, we have Marigold's Grand Prix update, including the very important standings, which I have right in front of me. So the standings after this weekend shows, Nori leads the Dream Stars block with 8 points, or the Dream League block. Dream Stars, the name of the tournament. Dream League. It'll be 8 points, and then Marai is at 5. Utami and Koki are at 4. Natsumi Shizuki, Nagisa Nozaki, and Victoria Yuzuki are at 3. And Chika Goto is at 0. And then in the Star League, Bozilla, Mai Sakurai, and Nanai Takahashi are all tied at the top with 6 points apiece. Miku Aono, Sari, and are tied at 5 points. Chiaki has 2, and then Kazuna Tanaka and Misa Matsui are at the bottom with 0. But let's quickly talk about this. Like I said, I've been reviewing the series over on youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. If you want a match-by-match review, that's the best place to go. But this weekend did have a lot of fun matches, all live on Wrestling Universe before they are back Friday, Saturday, and Monday with 3 shows. And then the final show will be next Saturday in Nagoya. So let's dive into it here. The Dreamstar Grand Prix, you had Sari defeat Chiaki, Koki Mare defeat Victoria Yuzuki, Nori and Nozaki go to a draw, which was a really good match, probably the best match from the 14th. You had Nanai Takahashi defeat Kazuna Tanaka, and Mai Sakurai pull off the shock and beat Bozilla. Now, most of the conversation for me today and in my update of the show is talking about that Cork and Hall show. The Cork and Hall show was great. It was great. Had four great matches. Just a really fun watch of a show, including Misa Matsui versus Chiaki, where Chiaki got the shock win. I thought for sure Matsui would get the win, so that was a cool shock. Victoria Yuzuki pinned Chika Goto clean in the middle of the ring, which was a nice surprise. Obviously, they have a budding rivalry that will go on for many, many months to come, but this was Yuzuki's big win over her. We have Mai Sakurai taking care of business and beating Kazuna Tanaka. Mai Sakurai continues to move forward in dominant fashion. And then we get to the big four. And that started with Natsumi Shozuki versus Nori. I've said it on my reviews and I'll say it here. Nori is a monster. Nori is a machine. She is awesome. Like I said, one of my new favorite wrestlers. Like, she is freaking incredible. Because she's still very raw in the ring, but a lot of that rawness turns into a very exciting match. And this match was just raw, like plain and simple. This was not your pretty high speed type match that is, you know, I love high speed wrestling that, you know, you kind of see maybe from the Superfly side of things. No, this was a fight. These two hit each other with devastating kick after devastating kick and continuously exchange. Like, this match and how good it was and how it rose to the occasion really ended up being one of my favorite matches from the tournament. I think Nori has had two killer performances, this one with Shozuki and then of course the Mirai match. I don't ever want her not featured in Marigold. She's too good. And she's on her way to an incredible tournament. She's won three times, lost zero, and has two draws. You know, she's got two tournament matches left. One against Utami, and then the other against, is it Chika Goto? Let me double check. So she has one against Utami, and then Victoria Yuzuki on the final day. Because see, Yuzuki made me get the big push, but you know, she is proven. She is a proven wrestler in this tournament. I think she's been incredible, and I think she's well worth your time, as is this match. Shizuki's a pro's pro. Then we have Nanai Takahashi versus Bozilla once again. These two just are infectious against each other. There is a incredible crowd feeling when they collide in Korakuen. You know, when they go head to head, you feel the energy, you feel the craziness, and that's what this match had. I thought this was great as well. I think Bozilla, you know, obviously working her way through a lot of things, still very young, still very fresh to the business, still very green. But when she's in there with Nanai, I feel like she wrestles her best style, which is this very dominant wrestler who Nanai is trying to cut down and take out. Nanai Takahashi has had a hell of a year. And this win over Bozilla was a great surprise win and one that I think is bringing Nanai closer and closer to a potential Star League win. And then we had Sari versus Miku Ano. I think this is the match of the tournament so far. The beauty of Sari in this tournament is she wrestles everyone with full of disdain, full of dislike, because you read all the comments that she makes in the Tokyo Sports articles and the post matches. She doesn't respect this roster. And to that point, she expects everyone to be a win. She looked at Miku Ano, the United National Champion, and said, this should be an easy win. And if you watch this match, it looked like it was going to be an easy win. But the beauty of the way Sari presents herself in this promotion creates moments and creates very exciting matches. And that's what this did. I think when I watch Sari, I'm amazed at how great she is, not just because of the hard-hitting style, but the way she's able to tell her story in the ring. It's very simple. She's very confident in the way she delivers, and it's why I think she's the best. Miku Aono was getting destroyed, walked over in this match, but her ability to fight back and outlast the onslaught of Sari is how you benefit her as a champion, win or lose. She ultimately went to a draw here, but I thought had she lost, she still proved a point in fighting against Sari. The way they ended this match was pure perfection. When Sari hits the second Uranage of the match, and as the third count is about to come down, the bell rings and they go to a draw. Sari was very open about this. She was disappointed in the draw. Yes, she got a point, but she fully believes she should have beat Miku Aono on this show. And ultimately, I do think it benefits Miku Aono in the long run of showing, okay, I have proven I can hang with you. And it leads them to a one-on-one match somewhere down the line, because it'll be a shame if Miku Aono and Sari are done after this. There was a lot of story told here, a lot of story for the future told here. Just a great, great match. Well worth your time. And we had a main event between Utami Hayashishita and Mirai. How's your lariats? How's your suplexes? This match was simply put together. They were going to run into each other as many times as possible to see who could outlast. And in the end, it was Mirai, my pick to win the entire tournament, winning with a lefty lariat to take out Utami. These two bumped like hell for one another, as they are the top two stars in Marigold. But this match was very good. Very good. Well worth, I think, like I said, going out of your way to see these last four were great. As Mirai wins against Utami, she is now in the driver's seat to potentially win the Dream League and set up a future title match with Sari. This coming weekend for Marigold, they're back. Like I said, they're in Sendai on the 20th. In the Sendai pit, it'll be Mirai versus Koki Amari, Utami Hayashishita versus Natsumi Shizuki, Chika Goto versus Nigisa Nozaki, and then on the Star League side, it'll be Miku Aono versus Kazuna Tanaka, Chiaki versus Nanai Takahashi, and Sari versus Misa Matsui. And then in Morioka on Saturday, it'll be Mirai versus Victoria Yuzuki, Koki Amari versus Nigisa Nozaki, and then on the Star League, you have Sari versus Kazuna Tanaka, and Mai Sakurai versus Chiaki. And then we're back at it on Monday. Day 7, the 23rd, Korakuen Hall, it'll be Utami Hayashishita versus Nori, Koki Amari versus Chika Goto, Mirai versus Natsumi Shizuki, and Victoria Yuzuki versus Nigisa Nozaki. And in the Star League, we have Kazuna Tanaka versus Misa Matsui, Mai Sakurai versus Miku Aono, looking forward to that one, Chiaki versus Bozilla, and the big match, the huge match, it'll be Sari versus Nanai Takahashi, likely your main event of the evening. And then the finals are going to be a week from Saturday, which I'm very much looking forward to, but we will review that in full, of course, or we will preview that, of course, next week after all these shows. But that is not all for Joshi this weekend. Like I said, TJPW back on Wrestling Universe this weekend. First time talking about TJPW in a little bit, but it's Wrestle Princess 5, their biggest event of the year, their signature event of the year, and it has kind of come up quietly. I think we are at a time here with TJPW, but Joshi as a whole, where the hype is not as there as it has been the past couple of years. As someone who covers it and watches it all and does their best to talk about it all, it's apparent. And I don't know the mix. Like TJPW, I don't see anyone talk about at all, which is, again, shocking, because TJPW fans, if you are a fan of TJPW, you are a diehard fan of TJPW for the most part, and that is all you talk about. I've seen a lot of their fans become quiet on it, and, you know, it is what it is, but it is noticeable. Because, again, I think that this card this weekend is one of their strongest ever, if not their strongest ever. So it does come as a bit of a shock. You know, the top three matches, I think, are great, And then you have a lot of fun things on the undercard. So again, I'm genuinely shocked of the lack of hype, but I do think it just goes within Joshi. And Joshi, you know, while I think Stardom isn't as hot as it once was, and Marigold's obviously building itself up, right, post Julia and whatnot, and TJPW is just kind of in of its own lane, I think Joshi's really freaking killing it this year. Like, I think Stardom's had its moments. Obviously, in ring, I think they've been great because that's what the Stardom wrestlers do. I think TJPW has went down the path of crowning the Miyu Watanabes and the Daisy Monkeys of the world, and that's a good thing, yet very little hype until, or really anything that you hear about TJPW. It's just kind of not there until the shows happen. Even so, it's very, you know, I saw some people say after the Stardom pay-per-view this past weekend, like, did anyone watch these big title matches? These were great. And I'm like, that's interesting because, you know, my timeline has people talking about Stardom, but maybe this is just a overall thing within hype of promotions right now for Western fans. It's just not there as much. And I find that interesting, but the reason I do these podcasts, the reason I cover these shows for Fightful is to get people to talk about them just by seeing these things. It's why I like to do these interviews. It's why I like to do this, because ultimately, in my very, 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 very small role, I hope to spread Joshi to everyone that wants to see something different, that wants to see something special. That is what Joshi brings to the table. I don't like the wars between promotions. I think it's very tacky between AEW and WWE fans, but it's natural. It's what they do. I wish that didn't come to Joshi between Stardom and Marigold. I am someone that enjoys both rosters. I enjoy both products. Yes, I have critiques. Obviously, I'm going to have critiques because that is what my job here is to do. But at the end of the day, am I going to stop watching? No, I watch every Stardom show. I watch every Marigold show because ultimately I like the products. I like the wrestlers, and that's what I do. So hopefully, I don't know what it's going to take, but hopefully we can get past the craziness back and forth. I don't think it's needed. That used to be Stardom TJPW fans. And once Marigold came into the picture, I think TJPW just wasn't as talked about as much. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, folks. There's so much great Joshi out there. It goes beyond these three promotions. Sendai Girls has a killer two cards next week that I can't wait to talk about. They had a big show this past week. Not one of their big shows, which they actually call big shows, but a big show this past week where Mika Wada successfully defeated Sariano to become the champion, and she will be defending against Miyuki Takase. I was going to talk more about that show, but I've been doing actually a big-time Sendai Girls catch-up from throughout the year. I want to get caught up for next weekend, actually. So, you know, there's more. There's more out there. And I want the hype, and I want the conversation to, you know, be positive. And, you know, I could be part of that problem too sometimes because, again, I have critiques for Stardom because I'm used to a certain way, but I just think that things can always be better for everyone all around. But at the end of the day, I think there's too much negativity that hurts these promotions more than the positivity that brings up these promotions and makes them want to watch. If I'm on the outside looking in and I'm watching these Stardom fans and Marigold fans and people just mock each other, it hurts the product. It makes you want to go away. That's how I feel about WWE and AEW. Like, half the time I don't want to watch either of those products because of the discussion online. I like things from both. Sue me. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. It's wrestling. There doesn't need to be this hatred, I think, towards promotions. If you like what you like, watch it. You know, I'm not telling you to watch anything you don't, but when it comes to Joshi, I watch Joshi because I love Joshi. I don't care what the promotion says. I just want it all to be great. And I think that might be part of the problem. I think that's part of the conversation that we have here. I am not in love with what Stardom is doing. That I don't need to sit here and lie about that. But at the end of the day, that's why I talk about it on the show, because I want it to get better, because I know this roster. I know Starlight Kid's having this incredible, you know, rise once again. I know that they have Azumi, and you know, Natsupoi's a champion, you know, all these different things. Suzuki's incredible. Mayu Itani's my favorite wrestler of all time. Like, my list goes on and on here. Like, I feel like the one thing all Joshi fans agree on right now, and rightfully so, is that Sari is the must see. And that's ultimately what I'm here to say. I'm here to do my job. And my job is to, in the end of all this and all the complaints and all the back and forth between Mario Gold and Stardom fans, especially earlier this year, I think they've both fallen off a little bit in terms of fans attacking each. I think Stardom has its own problem. You know, like, that's the thing. Like, everyone's working through things right now. And ultimately, Joshi's still great, right? Utami's great. Mirai's great. Tam's great. Natsupoi's great. Mayu's great. Hazuki's great. There's so many great wrestlers. There's so many great talents. And if you want to watch a promotion that is growing and watch a roster that's growing, you watch Marigold. If you want to watch the established roster in Stardom that is going to go out there and more than likely steal a show all the time, that's, in the end, do what you want. But I'm asking you all to give everything a chance. Okay, you don't have to like everything, but give everything a chance. I'm trying to get the hype back up for Joshi. There's so much goodness going on. We've had, you know, 5-star, now the Dream Star, which has been great, and now Wrestle Princess this weekend. But most importantly, just watch Sherry's matches. At the end of the day, that's all I care about. Listen, I'm going to be completely honest with everybody. My overall wrestling viewing these days, I'm not as excited as I am for a lot of things, but I am always excited for Sari work, and I'm always excited for Mayu's work. In the end, you lean on your favorites more than anything. This was just a big rant to say, I don't know, I just want Joshi to be covered in full moving forward. I want everyone to enjoy watching what they watch, and you know, you don't have to take down another promotion for you to enjoy another. Okay, you just don't. And I think that has been what's spilt over from the WWE AEW Wars. Let them have that. Okay, listen, there's always going to be disdain between fans that like Mario Gold and fans that like Stardom, but there are many fans like myself that just enjoy both and watch both and cheer for the wrestlers in both. And at the end of the day, I think that's all that matters. But really, just watch Suri. That's always the answer. But let's talk about Wrestle Princess 5, shall we? That was a long rant. I don't even know if I established anything. But I just want to say, like, with the overall excitement of Joshi, I want it to get back up. And I think the best way to do that is share the Joshi that you're loving on socials everywhere. Just, you know, let the world know, what are you enjoying about Joshi? I think that goes a long way. I think that's kind of how it got popular over the past couple of years. That's how Stardom became big. We were all loving it, right? 2021, 2022. Things were great. Things were great, you know? And, you know, even if you say, like, Joshi overall is down. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I don't see as many people talk about Stardom. I don't see as many people talk about TJPW at all. Like, right? We're talking about Wrestle Princess here, after all. It's the biggest show of the year, and no one's talking about it, but it's a really good card. So let's get into it. I'm looking forward to this. You have Runa Akubo versus Haru Kazushiro to open the show. Obviously, two of their youngest stars going head-to-head. I think this is a cool singles match to do between the two. I think Runa Akubo is someone that is going to be a big star for them. Kazushiro has this great underdog mentality that I think will do her a lot of good in this promotion. You have Kaya Toribami, Himawari, and Yoshiko Hasegawa, who has, of course, joined the promotion in recent months. They'll face Uta Takami, Kira Summer, and Chika Manase. Obviously, we're just going to steamroll through the undercard. There's not too much to talk about here. We have Mihiro Kiryu team up with Kakeru Sekiguchi to face Toga and Wakana Uehara. I would have liked to see Wakana in a bigger spot for this year's show. I think she's a very big star that they're getting behind. But I think I'm going to look forward to this match, especially with a veteran like Kakeru in there to wrestle both Toga and Wakana. You'll have Ram Kaichow versus Raku in a singles match. Obviously, their history being, you know, teammates and, you know, loving each other and things like that. It's interesting that they have been put one-on-one now here on the show. So if you're into TJPW, deep, big time with TJPW, that's going to be something of major interest to you, I'm sure.
We'll have a big time trios tag match, which I'm looking forward to. You have Aja Kong, Maxine Paler, and Pom Harajuku all on one team. They'll be facing Shino Suzuki, Rika Tatsumi, and Yuki Aino. Yuki Aino, of course, coming so close to winning the Tokyo Princess Cup before Ryo Mizunami beat her in a really good final match. That match is pretty cool. Seeing Rika in there and then Max and Aja on the same team, that's pretty awesome. And Pom's there, so like anyone can still win, you know. But I always look forward to watching Aja Kong, and I think Max works really well in TJPW, so this should be a lot of fun. Then we get into the Big Five. I think this is a Big Five show. Everything is, you know, mostly tags or whatever, but this kind of kicks us into the next gear. We'll have Venny returning to TJPW for the first time in a long time. Venny, one of the best in the world, obviously, in my match of the year from Saoryism earlier this month. Incredible pro wrestler, obviously. She'll be stepping into the ring, into a TJPW ring for the first time this year and the first time since SummerSlam Princess 2023 to team with Kamifuku, who she, of course, teamed with the last time. And they'll be going against the team of Mizuki and formerly WWE's Xia Li, now going by Xia Zhao, who I believe she'll be joining TNA soon as well. But when they announced her, I thought it was pretty cool. I think Xia is always someone that had fans around her that kind of believed, you know, maybe she's got what it takes to be a strong competitor. And, you know, it didn't work out in WWE, but I think her in a Joshi world is very intriguing to me. And she's teaming with Mizuki, who's obviously one of the best in TJPW. So it's something I'm certainly looking forward to here. I think that combo should be a lot of fun. That match should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to see Venny against Xia Li. That's something I never imagined, but it's happening, and I'm cool with it. Then we have Emi Sakura once again appearing on the show. She'll go one-on-one with Shoko Nakajima. Listen, I have my critiques, and I have my problems with Shoko Nakajima. She can be very hit or miss, but she's wrestling Emi Sakura. And Emi Sakura is great. So I think this match can indeed be great. Mei Suruga should be on the show, by the way. But this should be a good one. And then we have the three title matches, which I think they're all big time. You have Yuki Arai defending the International Princess Championship against Moka Miyamoto. Moka Miyamoto has been someone they have slowly built up over the past couple of years, someone that is getting this big deserving title match, and I don't have any problems with it. You know, the only person I would have considered in the spot against Yuki Arai that isn't, you know, that for a younger spot would have been Wakana. But I know who they like, and I know they like Moka a lot. And these two obviously have history against one another. I think Yuki Arai still keeps the belt. I do. But Moka Miyamoto would not shock me at all to take away this title and move forward. But they are obviously very behind Yuki Arai. I think Yuki probably holds it till the beginning of the year, maybe the January 4th show, and then drops it, and we're on our way to her potentially being Princess of Princess champion by the end of 2025. And in the match that could steal the show, Daisy Monkey defends the Princess Tag Team titles against 1 to 1 million, Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita. Listen, I don't see Maki Ito wrestle a lot anymore. Hell, I don't see Miyu Yamashita wrestle a lot anymore. Maybe that's part of the reason TJPW's not being talked about as much, because they do take a lot of international dates now. However, Daisy Monkey has been fantastic. One of the best tag teams in wrestling since coming together. And 1 to 1 million, Maki and Miyu, the best Maki we get these days is in these tag matches. I think this is going to be great, truly. I don't think this has any level below great. Could be one of the best tags of the year in Joshi. And I'm really looking forward to it. And I'd love if Daisy Monkey won. I don't think there's a reason to give the belts to 1 to 1 million. I think this is a great way to put them over once again and continue pushing the future of this promotion. But should be a fantastic match. Going to be one you're going to want to see. If you're listening to this and you don't really watch TJPW, this is going to be one you want to see. And then your main event, which should be superb. It's Miyu Watanabe defending the Princess of Princess Championship against Tokyo Princess Cup winner Ryo Mizunami. This can go either way, but if Ryo Mizunami's here to win the title, I will kind of be upset. Not because I don't love Ryo Mizunami. Aniki's the best. We freaking love Aniki. But this feels like the perfect match to put Miyu Watanabe over even more. They've had a match prior. These two have faced one-on-one before in kind of what I thought was one of Miyu's kind of breakout matches. You know, Mizunami won that. Mizunami doesn't lose in TJPW. That's an important part. That doesn't happen. These two faced back at... Let me find when they faced off. They faced each other back at Summer Sun Princess 2022. 11 minutes, 53 seconds. The match was really, really good. And that was kind of the start of Miyu's rise. She would then have the great showing in the Tokyo Princess Cup that saw her go to the final before losing to Yuki Sakazaki. She'd win the International Princess title. And then, of course, winning the Princess of Princess Championship this year at Grand Princess. This feels like the ultimate next step for her is overcoming Ryo Mizunami in the main event of Wrestle Princess. She should be overcoming Ryo Mizunami. She's the new ace of this promotion, but this match should be great as well. One you're going to want to check out. You have this match this weekend. You're gonna have Sarin and Nai this weekend. You have some big time tag matches and Stardom this weekend. Sendai Girls is coming in hot next weekend. Joshi is exciting, folks. It is. Like, you know, I can't help but get excited because this is what I cover. This is what I love. This is why I'm still watching pro wrestling. So I'm very excited for it all. But Wrestle Princess 5 this Sunday on Wrestle Universe, well worth going out of your way to check out. I think it's a show that, because of the underhype, it's going to over-deliver. There's a lot of good matches on this show that should be a lot of fun. So check out Wrestle Princess, and we'll be back next week. Next week, we're going to talk the Dump Matsumoto show, the Queen of Villains. We are going to talk Wrestle Princess 5. We are going to set the stage for the Marigold Finals, the Dreamstar Grand Prix Finals, which will be taking place next Saturday. We'll be previewing Stardom's Korakuen while going over any important notes from their shows this upcoming weekend. And I think that's the majority. Oh, and we'll be talking the Sendai shows as well, because Mako Satomura is back. Title matches are happening. Stardom's involved as well. So lots of excitement coming up. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure to follow me if you don't already on Twitter at Scott E Wrestling. I really do appreciate all the support, all the continued support. If you continue to listen after all this time, it's very much appreciated. And, you know, go out of your way. Share to the world what you love about Joshi. And I do want to give a shout-out, one, right before I wrap up here, to ResurreMag.com. They have put together an incredible list of the top 100 Joshi in the world right now. I believe 100 through 76 is up on the site. I think one's dropping per week. I am involved. I'm writing some blurbs. I helped with the scoring. I know they put the list together, but I did help with scoring certain wrestlers. I'll be writing a lot of blurbs for some of the best in the world. So I'm really looking forward to it. Make sure you check that out. Shout out to Rezra. Really continuing that Joshi excitement. So shouts out to them. If you want to continue that Joshi love, you should just go over and check them out. But that is it for me. Thank you all so much for listening. I appreciate each and every one of you. And until next time, folks, see ya.